Today on Living on the Edge, we wrap up the series, How to Change for the Better. I'm going to give you the last piece of the puzzle, the secret of lasting change, building below the waterline.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. We're in Chip's series, How to Change for the Better, and in this program, Chip wraps it up as he gives us the final key to lasting change. Well, this powerful series has the potential to help you actually make the changes you want, but just haven't been able to make stick. So if you missed any of these messages, let me encourage you to invest the time to listen to the entire series if you're on the app or on our website, livingontheedge.org. Just click the Broadcasts tab. Okay, let's get going, shall we? If you have a Bible, open it now to James chapter 2, and let's join Chip for part 2 of his message, The Secret to Lasting Change, Building Below the Waterline.
The wisdom that comes from God is first pure, not perfect, but pure. God, I want to honor you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to do this not for what other people think of me, but I want to do it unto you and to serve them so your agenda gets done. And God, when it's not there, you show me, you know? You know, we'll correct. Lots of mid-course changes. But it's first pure. You can summarize this by the little phrase, if I'm wise, I won't compromise my integrity. That's how you can remember it. If you're going to be built on the rock, the wisdom from God, you don't compromise your integrity. When you know what's right to do, you don't allow your behavior, your relationships, your finances, or your speech to tell a different story than what you know is right. That's the first condition of a life built on the rock, God's wisdom. The second one is this idea of peaceable. It means to be at peace in one's relationships with others, harmony. Issues are resolved and forgiven both with other people and with God. It's a desire to foster peace by, listen to this, restraining discord and pacifying turbulent elements around it. It's this idea when people lash out at you, what's the natural tendency when people are angry or there's discord? What do we want to do? Yeah, I want to lash back. Why? Because I got to protect me. Why? Because me is what's important. Starting to make sense? If I'm wise, I'll be peaceable. And that means I won't antagonize your anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Doesn't mean you don't stand up for things when it's true. But you're not going to go there. You're complete in Christ. And you actually find yourself prompted by the Spirit of God to pray for that person. One, that he won't kill someone else. And two, for whatever perverted way of thinking that puts other people's lives in danger. Do you see the characteristic of God's wisdom, how it comes out relationally? Third characteristic is gentle. Considerate forbearing. It means to be really kind. Have you ever been around someone who's just kind? I mean, they're just nice. It's a good indication. They're nice for the right reasons. It's respect for the thoughts and feelings of others. It's being willing to look beyond the letter of the law. It's the willing to forgo one's rights and justice. Why? To care for others, to make sure that it's fair for everyone. One commentator calls this word sweet reasonableness. One of the characteristics of God's wisdom is gentleness. If you want to fill this one in, if I'm wise, I won't minimize others' feelings. Doesn't mean their feelings are right, doesn't mean they're wrong, but you won't minimize them. Do you find people that when you start to share your feelings, they cut you off? Why? Because they can't be important because they have an agenda. It's one of the most damaging things we do in close relationships, especially in marriage. The fourth one here is the idea of reasonableness. It literally means to be easily persuaded, open to argument or reason, to be teachable, willing to hear another person's perspective that's different from your own opinion. It's the idea of people that are approachable. It's the opposite of stubborn, hard-headed, unyielding, or rigid. Ooh, that's convicting, isn't it? Literally, the idea of people that are easy to work with, easy to get along with. Does that describe you? Is that how you do relationships? Easy to work with. You got convictions, but easy to get along with. Approachable. Teachable. You don't power up, intimidate people, or you don't withdraw in silence and say, I'll make them pay. Let me summarize it for you with a, because those four words, you're saying, okay, now, what am I supposed to do with this in my life? Those four characteristics, I think, can be summarized in this way. God's wisdom will be revealed in our lives, in lives characterized by personal holiness and relational oneness. Does that describe you? Personal holiness and relational oneness. Does that describe me? That's the characteristics of building your life on the rock. How you doing? Does that characterize you? God wants to help you. He wants you to build on that. Because are the storms going to come in your life? Yeah. Are you going to have marriage problems? Of course. Unless you have just like a totally blasé marriage. Every marriage has seasons. There's one the first 5 years, second five, next five, next five. And they're all different. They all require tremendous grace, lots of conflict. And you grow in Christ because of it. If you're having a really hard time, welcome to the marriage NFL. And God will use that person to make you holy. I want you to know, those are the characteristics that God honors. The results of God's wisdom are these three phrases, full of mercy and good fruit. And full of mercy means feeling merciful or compassionate for someone in trouble. Are you ready for this? Even if they got themselves in trouble. You know, like it's their fault. But it's not stopping at the feeling level. It's not seeing someone in pain and saying, oh, that's really too bad. That's empathy. Mercy is seeing their pain and their hurt to the point that you act to relieve the pain. And that's the idea of this good fruit in multiple ways, specific acts of kindness. You reach into the lives of people who don't deserve to get help. And because you are like Christ, we're probably never more like God than when we give people what they don't deserve. I've found a pattern in my life. I want justice. I want justice for everybody but me. It's just how I've learned to live. It's wrong. Have you found yourself doing that? Man, that is wrong. I can't believe my supervisor did that. Oh, justice over here. Well, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, so I'm going to bring up the past. Justice right here. Well, what about this? I did this, 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 and justice right here. And then we really blow it, and what do we say? Oh, God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner, you know? Right? People who are built on the rock have the Spirit of God flowing through them in such a way that if I'm wise, I won't emphasize others' mistakes. Doesn't mean you don't deal with them. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. You don't emphasize them. Your goal is to help them through them. The next word here is interesting, unwavering. It means not to be double-minded. It's the opposite of duplicity. It's the idea of a person who lives by principles, undivided, not vacillating. This is a person who knows what's right to do, and no matter how the lay of the land comes, he doesn't act this way with this group and this way with that group. The idea of unwavering literally is without partiality. People who are built on the rock see people through the eyes of Jesus, and the ground is level, and they don't play games, and they don't play to the crowds, and they don't sense the momentum is shifting. They don't take polls to find out where to go. They base their life on truth and without partiality. They live out their life. That means lots of people will often disagree with you, and everyone will respect you. And that's really what you need from people. Unwavering. If I'm wise, I won't disguise, I won't show partiality. And the final one here is right where we started in the whole series. A person who's living in their life in the growth of God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy comes from the ancient Greek plays, and it was a word for the actors. And what they had a mask with a stick on it. And in ancient Greece, all the actors were male, and so they would learn to throw their voices. And so you might play one part, and they would have a costume on, and they put this mask up and go, you know. And then they'd play another part, take this mask, and put another mask. That mask, those different fronts, that's the idea behind hypocrisy. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Can I tell you why I do it? I want you to think better of me than is true. When I blow it spiritually, when I blow it financially, when I blow it in my marriage, when I blow it as a pastor, when I blow it with my kids, when I lose my temper, what I want you to do is think better than me. So what I do is I hide my weaknesses, and the only way you can hide your weaknesses is you pretend. So people ask you a penetrating question, you know the right answer, and so you lie. But you don't call it lying because you're a Christian and Christians don't lie. You exaggerate. You reformat. And so you learn all the little jargon, and you operate in a way so you cast an image that is better than who you really are, and the whole goal is what? To hide your weakness. In fact, the wisdom that's from God. If I'm wise, I won't disguise my weaknesses. Can I tell you an interesting discovery I've had? The people that appear to have it all together don't. And the people that others are attracted to aren't people that have it all together. It's people who admit they have weaknesses, because when they admit you have weaknesses, guess what? I can identify with them. I identify with other people who struggle in their marriage and don't always tell the truth and have a problem with time management and do all the other things and kind of blow it with their kids. I can really identify with them. And what happens is authentic relationships are born out of being real, being authentic. And by the way, you spend a lot of energy. Do you realize how much energy it takes to be a hypocrite? That's when, you know, I'm sort of a pragmatist in some ways. I just thought, I'm putting in so much energy just to pretend I'm something I'm not, and I can't remember what I told them. And you know what? Hey, God, maybe it's just easier to be myself. Fallen, making progress, empowered by the Spirit. When I blow it, just own it. You know my friend who called me? Well, he went and got some high-powered, very effective Christian counseling. He started telling himself the truth. He faced deep issues there and in his marriage and in ministry, and he'd been working on it. And we sat across the table, I'm telling you, and I just, you know, curly fries over here, and can I get some more napkins here? You know, and I mean, he's just baring his heart. I mean, this is where I blew it. This is how I thought. This is where it came from. I used money to project this. I controlled people like this. I always wanted to appear this way. Chip, it was sin. I was in such denial. And then he began to share the freedom that he had in Christ. He began to share how coming clean with God and what it had done. And man, I'll tell you what, I just sat across from him and I thought, whoa. You know, I didn't think less of him. I thought, God, I want to be like him. I want to have the kind of courage that he has to look into my heart and my life the way he's looking to his heart and his life. And so if you want to summarize the results, if you want to know whether God's wisdom, you're building on the rock, the little summary statement is God's wisdom will result in compassionate, authentic, vulnerable relationships. Do you have compassionate, authentic, vulnerable relationships? If you do, it's an evidence of God's wisdom. This is not about you thinking, okay, I really want to be authentic. I want to have integrity. I'm really going to work hard. I'm going to pull up my bootstraps. I'm going to try. See me in 6 weeks and you'll be flat on your face and discouraged. God never intended you or me or anyone else to live a life of integrity and Christ-likeness and holiness on your own. It always happens in community. But now I think the question you ought to ask, I'm sure you are, I mean, I can't imagine anybody with like 1.5 brain cells working going, okay, that opening thought was, do I want to build on the sand or build on the rock? Okay, if I build on the sand, hard times are going to come. The waves, the storms, the pressures of life. My life's going to be destroyed. I'm going to embarrass God, maybe lose my family. Yeah, that's where no one's there. Everyone's over here going, God, what would it look like to build on the rock? God, I've been real open. I asked the Holy Spirit to show me. And, you know, the real red light on my conscience is going ding, 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 ding. And I need to address some things. Let me tell you how. Turn to the back page and let me give you just sort of a quick to-go package to simplify this. How do you get God's wisdom? I mean, if that's what you want and that's what God wants, well, how do you get it? The action step is very simple. In this way, Colossians 2, 2 and 3 says, you will know God's secret, which is Christ himself. He, speaking of Jesus, is the key that opens the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. You want God's wisdom? You don't get it in a formula. You don't get it through trying hard. You get it in a relationship. You get it in a relationship with Christ. Look what it says. You'll know God's secret, which is Christ himself. He's the key to the hidden treasure, God's wisdom and knowledge. And you say, well, how do you take that key and open some things? Where do you begin? Let me give you 4 quick steps depending on where you are. First, receive the Son. If Jesus is the key to wisdom, if you don't know him, if you're here and have never repented of your sin, I don't mean you're religious, I don't mean you're moral, I don't mean you give the United Way, I mean 1 John 5:11 and 12. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Question, do you have the Son? Not do you go to church. Do you have the Son? Does the Son of God dwell in your heart and your life? Answer, yes, eternal life. Answer, no, eternal separation. Don't leave here until you receive the Son. He's the beginning of all wisdom. Second thing, for those of you that have received the Son and you're a believer, pray. Ask God for wisdom. This is amazing. James 1:5, if any man, any woman, if you lack wisdom, if you lack the skill and the ability to live life God's way, let him ask of God who gives generously and without reproach, and he'll give it to you. Now, here's the deal. Verses 6, 7, and 8 of James says God guarantees he'll give it 100% of the time if, when he gives it, you say, I'll do it. What I find is I pray for wisdom and God gives it and he says, do this. And I think, oh, that looks scary. He said, the question wasn't scary. Do you want wisdom? You want to do it my way? Yeah. And so I risk, and sometimes I don't. But when I do, bang, wisdom. God works. Obviously him, he gets the credit. Third, wisdom isn't laying on top of the ground. Dig for it daily. One of the greatest passages in Scripture is Proverbs 2. 1-5 is at the core, but take the first 10 or 11 verses. He talks about, my son, treasure my commandments. Don't let them depart from you. You want to get wisdom? Search for it as for hidden treasure. Dig for it. Go for it. Cry out for discernment. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord, and then you will discover the knowledge of God, and then wisdom will be yours. It'll guide your steps. It'll help you with decisions. It will show you how to live. It will guard you. See, Christ is the key, and he's revealed in this, his word. We read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh. You know, this book got to be your passion. God, show me, show me, show me. He'll show you how to do relationships. He'll show you how to do business. He'll show you how to be holy. Dig in. It's not on top of the ground. It's for those who dig. And then finally, Proverbs 13:20. He who dwells with wise men will be wise. I mean, go after this, people. I mean, let's see, sand over here, rock over here, long-term future. Which do you want? I find people that are wise in leadership and I hang around them. I find people whose marriages that I think, man, that's what I want in another 10 years. I hang around them. Buy them breakfast, buy them lunch. Knock at their door and say, hey, would you hang out with me? And you know what? I'll guarantee they're busy. They're busy. They'll say, no, I really can't. How about next quarter? Well, I don't know. I'm looking at my calendar. Well, how about the quarter after that? You just keep bugging them until they'll hang out with you. I bugged Howard Hendricks for almost 2.5, 3 years. And finally he said, Chip, you're making me crazy. I said, Prof, I'm listening to your tapes. Do you hang out with people or not? Someday you ought to hang out with me. He said, all right. And then he shaped my life. Who are you going to hang out with? He who dwells with wise people, you will be wise. I was really concerned that some of you are going to go, oh God, I want to do what you want me to do. But some of you are clueless, okay? You don't know where, I mean, you know, it's like, get in the Word, man. I never seen one of these, you know? And so if you're kind of first steps, there's a book very easy to read called The Fight by John White. And it will start you from the beginning how to walk with God and get wisdom. There's others here, you're thinking, I've tried. I'm scared to do this again because I'll fall flat on my face. I'm tired of trying to measure up. That's the name of the book, Jeffrey Van Bondren. He'll teach you in practical ways how to understand your position in Christ and how to live it out. Or there's others here that, you know, you're thinking, you know, you look good on the outside and you're thinking, when I was talking about motives, little lights went on. Ooh, gosh. Larry Crabb, couple books, Inside Out and Finding God. Excellent on motives. And the last one is just for you who are kind of mature and you want to take the next step. J.I. Packard's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. No, that's Tozer. Read the notes, Chip. Knowing God, all right? Fantastic book. Hey, you guys got the idea? Build your life on the rock. Take effort, energy, focus, priorities, discipline, community. And you'll be glad every day that you did.
Chip will be right back with his application for this message. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Today's teaching is from Chip's series, How to Change for the Better. Now, if you've ever wanted to know the secret to lasting life change, Chip's got the answer in this series, straight from Scripture. He'll teach you how to face problems and maintain your motivation, even when you don't feel like it. Now, if you're ready for lasting change, this series, How to Change for the Better, is the guide you need. To take a closer look, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers on the app. Well, now here's Chip to tell you about a great offer.
we wanted to do something special to encourage you to take the next step in whatever way God might be directing you. It's called BOGO, except it has a little twist. Instead of buy one, get one, our intention is you buy one and give one. Are you ready for this? You buy any book that we have, and we will give you a second one free to give to someone that you want to help. We're all about helping Christians live like Christians, and so we're taking this step of faith to give you the second book with the idea that you can reach out to a friend or a family member, because we're absolutely committed to helping you love and minister to the people that you care about in your life. So go to the website, livingontheedge.org, and check out all the books there, but choose one that you believe will really make a difference in someone's life that you love and care about. I hope you'll do it today.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. You order the one you want, and we'll send you a second one to give away. Just go to livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers and choose the book you think will have the most impact on your life. Place your order, and we'll send you a second book absolutely free to give to a friend. For more detail, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
Well, we have come to the end of this series. It has been a journey the last couple of weeks, and we've talked about some heavy duty stuff. I mean, we've talked about integrity and looking below the waterline and deep issues in our life and hearts. And let me encourage you, this may be the kind of series that you need to pick up and listen to. I've gone over this material with a group of men, and this opens the door to talk about the real issues in our hearts and lives that God wants to deal with. And it's not easy, but it's great. And so let me encourage you, pick up the series. We'll give you information about how to get that. But let me also just affirm those of you tracking with us, God loves you. He understands your struggle. In fact, I'm always encouraged. I had this picture in my mind of when my kids were toddlers and they were just learning to walk, and they would take one or two little steps and boom, fall on their face. And then they'd get up and one or two steps and boom, fall on their face. I want to tell you, I did not run over and say, get up and walk right now. What's wrong with you? I got so excited that they tried. I was so excited that they were taking steps toward their father. Just keep taking steps toward your father. You're going to fall down. You're going to blow it. But when he sees that heart, that desire, as you trust him, little by little, it's a process. It's going to take time. But as you trust him, he is delighted. He loves you so much that he loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he can't let you stay the way you are. He has better plans for you than that. You can change for the better by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let me close this series by coming before God with you. Father, you know the issues we struggle with. You know when we look below the waterline, how painful and how ugly it is at times when we see our ego and our flesh. We tell you we want to be clean, we want to be pure, and we want to become all that you've designed us to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you right now to hear our heart's cry, to intervene in our life, to empower us with your Spirit, and will you make each one of us the men and the women you long us to become. Lord, thank you. You have given us everything we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Well, just before we close, I want to thank each of you who's making this broadcast possible through your generous giving. 100% of your gifts are going directly to the ministry to help Christians really live like Christians. Now, if you found Chip's teaching helpful, but you're not yet on the team, would you consider joining today? To give a gift, just tap the donate button or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. If you prefer to give online, you can donate securely by going to livingontheedge.org. And let me thank you in advance for whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, for all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.